This is one of the reasons why, like, when I first started playing music, even part time, because I had a full time job, and then started playing music part time, trying to build up my, you know, my repertoire, my opportunities for performances. It's one of the reasons why I will always try to do something with Anne Marie Garden, because when I was first getting started, they were people that provided me an opportunity to go and do what I did and compensate me for it. And it's not a lot of money, but it's, you can see the difference. Like, that's, again, we're choosing how you operate your own business. Like, Anne Marie Garden has music, it has visual arts. I mean, they promote a painter as much as they would a photographer or a writer. You know, when you see, like, the Garden and Lights, it's all about, it's about just having the experience of walking your kids through the, you know, through the Christmas lights, you know, throughout the art sculptures and the garden. So they're creating experiences and moments, they're creating happenings, as they're
right,
called,
yeah, yeah.
Happenings. But see, there's a great public location for that to happen, and it's one of the things that I would argue against, like house concerts. It's a great idea, but in keeping,
it's not public.
It's not public.
It's an intimate
right.
setting with a known community already established.
Right.
I mean, if that's the case, then every time I ever played at Jones' house, you know, was a house party, and it was always a success because we always had lots of people there, great food, great beer. Like, you know, it was like, it's, you know, it was a perfect success, but...
Until Daniel started asking for a 1K guarantee. Joan,
I'm going to need...
And he's got a rider with, 10 cases of beer.
Well, Joan could afford me because I was still working for food and beer
right,
at
right.
the time.
Okay, yeah. Okay, fair enough.
But
starving artists
love our
food.
Feed me. As you can see,
that's
it's not my problem.
I'm going
to
need a green room. I mean, you can use our bedroom.
Right.
Stuff to nibble on.
Yeah, what?
So, Roscoe's getting his band together, getting the guys together. And where does he go? He wants to play out. What does he do?
In Southern Maryland?
Yeah. We could do both, but let's start with Southern Maryland.
I feel like that there's, if you start off with the concept of hand-picking, hand-selecting locations that cater to your goals and your objectives in performing live, you will be happier. But you will make more money if you're willing to learn 4 hours of cover songs, because Adam's Ribs will host you and pay you
right.
to do that. I think that the biggest downfall to all of the entirety of Southern Maryland is that there are no live music venues that promote original music, original thought processes. The consumer mentality in Southern Maryland is, if it's not, you know, if it's not, I'm a picker, I'm a grinner.
Right.
Yeah, if I'm free, you're free bird or free fallen, or, you know, like this is, we want to, in Southern Maryland, the mentality from the average consumer is to go to a local bar and hear, if it's a band, it's going to be the song that you just turned off on your radio before walking into the restaurant. And if it's a DJ, then it's going to be the song that was on your wife's radio before you pulled into the restaurant.
That's accurate.
And honestly, we as artists have to change that, because otherwise the consumer is going to keep wanting what they've got.
Well, as artists, maybe we need to go into a collective venue and open our own bar.
It's not a bad idea.
But I will say, from a point of view of you got to put yourself in the bar's point of view. If you can go to the bar manager, and you might have to take a night that's not your favorite night. Maybe it's not going to start off on a Friday because they already have a crowd on a Friday. But if you could go to a bar and say, "Look, this is our first show. You know, I'm a local guy, but I can bring a lot of people to your bar on this night that you're probably not, like, if it's a Tuesday or something." I know that sucks for you as an artist to have to play on a Tuesday, but if it's in your neighborhood.
But I can't make those kinds of promises on a Tuesday.
Right.
I can't do it.
Well, I think their expectations will be a lot lower, too. Like, if it's just some bar and they're probably only going to have a couple people in there, if you could say, "Hey, look, I can bring 15 drinkers or 15 people that will have dinner," and even if it's just your friends, you got to start somewhere. You've
been here a while.
Yeah.
You've been here in the county a while.
A while. And I have to say, there was a guy down in Ridge who had a bar, and he wanted to
St. Mary's.
Bowden's. Matter of fact, Scotty just died last week, and I went to the funeral yesterday. But it was great. He had only local bands that he did put on the Molly Hatchet concert. So he had a big name, but most of his local bands were unknowns, and they had good music. It was really good, solid stuff. And they sold CDs, you know, 10, 15 bucks a piece.
Right.
And got the word out. And it built up to the point where it was pretty much standing room only most of the time. That's with awesome. Local bands.
Well, even in the 90s, even Solomon supported it. It was mostly cover. You would do cover singer-songwriter, you know, two people with guitars and stuff like that, I believe. Yeah. I was not here, but that's what I've heard.
Yeah.
And that doesn't exist.
And at St. Leonard's, at the Celtic Festival, there's a lot of unknown people that would fill out the show. They weren't Scotch, Irish, Celtic, or any of that type of thing, but they had some people down there that were excellent musicians, one of which comes to mind was Al Pettyway and Amy White.
Mm-hmm.
And he's gone on to produce a lot of stuff for PBS and do some soundtracks. And
That's cool.
Nobody knew who he was when he played the Cup Fest.
Yeah. Well, 4 or 5 years ago in the newspaper, there was like 6 Grammy-nominated artists that were all from the Tri-County area.
Yeah.
And so the problem is not the talent.
Right.
The problem is the opportunities... Okay, to be able to really, I boil it down to this because I can find lots of ways to give away stuff. I'm looking to be an independent artist and make money doing what I love to do. And I think that it all goes hand in hand with having a variety of options, you know, like having a lot of choices. I don't mind doing the work. I'll play the solo singer-songwriter's nights. I make a lot of money doing that. I also will play out with a full band and I don't have a problem playing covers. I just think that if you only are able to offer one specific type of thing as a community, then that's it's a niche, and then there's no room for growth in that area because people will get into a mentality of this is just the way it's always been, and so it should always be this way. And also, you know, to try to incorporate some of this into Joan's world with focusing on comics, a house party is not necessarily the best place for Joan to be able to show off her artistic talents.
Yeah.
Right. It's also not the best place for her to like go to set up to do comic book signings or like, you know, like what are you going to set up a caricature booth or something like?
That would be awesome for a party though. Right. Get your caricature here.
So one last question in this area, I think, or if anybody else has other questions, certainly, but, and it would get to something you could speak to, is online collaboration a viable, some young people especially might not have options to travel up to Baltimore as a musician or any other kind of creative artist. Is online collaboration, how do you go about that?
That's an email or a phone call away.
Yeah.
Honestly, we don't have Skype sessions ourselves, but we send each other emails and phone calls and text messages, and that's how, you know, how we coordinate everything.
Yeah. And the comic that I do, I work with a writer that I've never met in real life. He lives up in Massachusetts. I met him online by just saying I was a big fan of his work.
That's awesome.
And the ball just sort of started rolling from there. But it is absolutely viable. We've been working together for over 3 years now, and we're constantly making new content and challenging each other to be better. I think that's like one of the best things about collaborative work is it gives you a higher standard. When you're doing it just in your own head, it's easy to go, this is good enough, get it out.
Mm.
Just like let the content be there. But when you have someone else that you're collaborating with, it's like you're editors for each other, even if it's not necessarily an editor role for each other. It's a challenge to live up to, and it's very rewarding to live up to.
Well, you're sharing information, whether it's face-to-face or across the country, you're still interacting.
Yeah.
Maybe one of the things that we could work on is how to get more of the collaboration opportunities, like the one that you formed with somebody in Boston, and try to make it something where we can create more of those online opportunities with other people that are in the Tri-County communities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, where we can focus on that as far as the Southern Maryland goes, but even Maryland in general.
I don't know so much for music, although this could be an option also for music, but a lot of comic book artists are finding ways to kind of become cohesive with each other through anthology works. So people will, like you were saying, the poetry started off from the subject music. There are comic anthologies that do the same thing. They'll be like, this one is all about horror movies, or this one is all about superheroes. It'll just be one subject, but many people submitting work that all can be put together. And I think being able to find a way to do that through music communities as well would be wonderful. Is there anything
who
like
are the
that
organizations that are putting out these anthologies?
I've seen a lot of the work that I've seen through that are usually communities that start through colleges. It'll be people that recently have graduated from an art college that will all not have professional level jobs in the industry yet, but still want to actively be working. And usually they all find each other online. And usually it's not a very official okay. one person owns it sort of thing, but there's options out there
sure.
like that.
We just put out a compilation in Baltimore. I mean, and there's probably
the Charm City sampler.
Yeah,
So I'd argue like nobody invited me to be on the sampler. I work really hard, you know. Yeah. Like I want to be on.
Well, the guy that runs actually runs it. He just took submissions.
I didn't know there were submissions open.
And quite honestly, I try to take a back seat on the whole thing. I'll post it for him.
Right.
But I try not to get too involved because. I mean, I gotta be honest, there's bands that I book all the time that didn't make it on there.
Right.
And I don't wanna, there's judges, I am one of the judges.
Right.
So basically everybody submits, he does the most promotion of it.
Right,
you know,
right.
I did repost it for him. But anyways, like I'm one of five judges. And you know, honestly, between me and you, there's bands that I book that I think are okay. I give them a 5 out of 5, because I'm like, I want them to be on here. They,
right.
you know, they book through me, I'm not gonna give them a 3, I'm gonna, but a lot of them didn't get on.
Right.
And that's why I kinda stay in the background of it, because I don't wanna disappoint these bands that do right by me, but at the same time, we have judges because we want it to be the best CD it can be.
Right.
You know, and yeah, to answer what she said, maybe I should have said, "Hey, man, submit." Like, but that's the best I could do. I didn't invite anyone because I can't guarantee they're going to make it.
Sure.
So if I invite somebody and they get like a 3 or like a 2 from somebody, which you wouldn't, but you get what I'm saying. Like, then they're like, "What the hell, Kevin? You invited me on the CD and I didn't make it on the CD."
Well,
I'm like, "I have one vote. Sorry, I don't know."
Being invited to submit is a little different than like, "Hey, man, you're a shoe-in for this." But I think that's from just a completely selfish perspective, that becomes one of my pet peeves, if you will, is like only I really know how hard I do work, and only you really know how hard you work to do what you do.
Right.
There does become a point when it's like, it would be really awesome if the community would when there's an opportunity to go, "Hey, isn't there like that one guy that's in a band that's in Southern Maryland?
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you think that they might be interested in playing out?" Like, what I typically see is it looks like the bands that have an opportunity once have the exact same opportunities over and over and over again. And you might see this as well.